The beginning of the message that you just heard begins in the temple. Jesus and his disciples, as was their custom many times, had been in the temple. And as they left, the disciples were echoing the feeling of the Israelites of the day about the beauty and the majesty and the glory of it all. What a wonderful place, this temple in Jerusalem. There it stood on the highest spot of the city. A marvelous thing to look at. A commanding view of the city below you and the countryside beyond. The Temple of Jerusalem. Huge, solid rock. It was here to stay. And all the people were proud of it. And so were the disciples. In fact, they were hoping that the popularity and the power of Jesus was at the time when he could perhaps restore this place of Jerusalem, this temple in Jerusalem, as the center, the religious and the political center of the land, like it had been many years ago. And maybe the time was right for them, so that they were at the right place at the right time, and when Jesus took over, perhaps they could share in the joy and in the glory of it all. Forget it, Jesus said. This temple, majestic as it is going to fall. It's going to be destroyed. And not one stone will remain on top of the other stone. That shook the disciple. You mean this beautiful place isn't going to be here very long anymore? Tell us, when will that happen? We're curious. We really want to know. And ignoring their question, Jesus began to talk about the world in which they were living and the church in which they would serve. Look, he said, this world around you isn't going to be impressed by the Temple of Jerusalem or by what it stands for. The people of the world have their own agenda. They're after human pleasure, human success, human power and prestige. They're going to fight for what they're after with all their might, and in the process, they're going to destroy each other. And they're going to hate you. They're going to oppose you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to kill you for what you stand, because you believe in me as your Lord and Savior. They will try everything they can to get rid of you. And the churches that you will serve will be affected by the spirit of the world in which they exist. Many of the people in the churches will become confused and disillusioned. They will be giving up their first love, which they had when they came to faith, chasing after the goals of the world around them. Believe me, it isn't going to be easy for you to hang on to the faith under those conditions. Love of most people will be growing cold. But I urge you, keep your faith. And you can. And you will. Because God will give you the power to do so. And that faith will save you. God will be at work in his persecuted and stumbling church. God will be manifesting his strength in her weakness. The task of the church will be accomplished. The history of the world and the history of the church show God at work as he moves toward the final judgment. The gospel of Jesus Christ will be universally proclaimed, and then the end will come. Not the beauty and the majesty of the temple in Jerusalem, not the power and the might of the nation around it, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is your salvation. That is your mission. That is your task, to proclaim that gospel. My friends, there couldn't be a better guide for you and for me who are in the church and who serve the church. As we prepare for ministry or as we continue a ministry. Let's never expect that the world is going to receive us with open arms for the message that we have to bring. The world may tolerate us, but it still has its own agenda. And that agenda has little, if anything, to do with God. And the church in which you and I serve has its problem and its difficulty. And these often tend to divert us from and get in the way of our proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you and I have the assurance, as did the disciples at the time of Christ, that come what may, the world around us and the church of which we are a part, the gospel will be preached. The gospel, that simple message, which tells us that people are sinners, that you are a sinner, that I am a sinner, that we need help, that we need God's help to intervene, to remove that sin, and to know that the very Jesus who was speaking to his disciples at that time was the one appointed by God to go the way to the cross and to the tomb and to rise victoriously from the dead. In him we believe and trust. Through him we have access to the Father. And that's the message which the world needs. That's the message for which you and I are appointed in God's church. To continue to tell the world how desperately it needs a knowledge of its own waywardness, a knowledge of its own need for salvation, knowledge of the fact that God has loved us so much to save us. That, my friend, is the gospel which has saved you. That is the gospel which has saved me. And that is the gospel which God is calling us to proclaim. It is the very heart of our mission and our ministry as long as we live. God, give us the faith and the power to proclaim that message of God's love as long as we live. Amen.